Coming up on KUCB News, Penair sells for more than $12 million, and the exact circumstances surrounding a missing Unalaska man remain a mystery. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the Airport Cargo Building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Thursday, October 4th, 2018. The company that owns Raven Alaska was the top bidder for Penair's assets at an auction yesterday. KDLG's Avery Lill has more.
A federal judge ordered Penair to sell off its assets as a part of its bankruptcy proceedings. That auction was held Wednesday in Anchorage. Michael Markham is the attorney for the trustee overseeing the sale.
We had two bidders. The prevailing bidder was J.F. Lehman and Company, who's the owner of Raven Air Group, and their bid was $12.3 million in cash, along with other considerations, some contract assumptions, including covering liabilities under the company health plan.
The buyer would also pick up the primary aircraft leases from Penair. Peninsula Airways has been owned by the Siebert family for more than six decades. For many years, it was the primary and often only service between Anchorage and Bristol Bay. It is the only connection between Anchorage and Unalaska, as well as most of the Aleutian and Pribilof Island communities. It filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in August of 2017. Friday afternoon, the purchase will go before a bankruptcy judge in Anchorage.
That will hopefully result in the entry of an order approving the sale, and then the bidder will start their process of obtaining approvals with the FAA and DOT, and as soon as those approvals are obtained, which will hopefully take 4 to 6 weeks, there'll be a closing after those approvals are obtained.
This sale is not a merger. Markham stressed that Penair will continue to operate under that name and separately from the current Raven operations. In the immediate future, he said he does not anticipate changes to service for Bristol Bay or the other communities Penair serves. In Dillingham, I'm Avery Lill.
Police say the disappearance of Unalaska resident Willie Robinson likely stemmed from an incident on the water. The exact circumstances are a mystery, according to Acting Police Chief Jennifer Shockley, but investigators who searched the Captain's Bay Island, where Robinson was fishing last weekend, found no signs of foul play or an emergency on land.
We're still considering him officially missing, but the family is have been informed that the likelihood of finding him alive is very, very slim.
Robinson was reported missing Tuesday morning by a friend who had lent him a boat. By the state of the island, Shockley says it's clear that Robinson did arrive there safely and start fishing as planned.
Based on the condition of some of the remains of the fish, it appears he was probably fishing on Sunday. Our best guess is that he was still alive and out there on Sunday, and whatever happened to him had happened by sometime on Monday.
Shockley says Robinson's borrowed boat drifted ashore Monday near the Northland dock. The motor was found in the up position without a propeller, so it's unclear when he had last driven the boat.
It did appear to have some new damage, but not the kind of damage that you might expect if you hit something at high speed.
With no other leads, police have called off their two-day search for Robinson. Shockley says responders combed almost 20 miles of Captain's Bay and wider Unalaska Bay with help from about a dozen local boat owners who searched alongside the city's lone rescue vessel.
A huge thank you to all of the people who volunteered. With their assistance, it's so much more ground is able to be covered.
Robinson's friends and family are still hoping to recover his body. They're looking for volunteers to help walk the beaches around Little South America and Captain's Bay. For more information on their search, contact Janae at 359-2299 or Katina at 359-1191. A new exhibition opens this Friday at the Museum of the Aleutians. Alaska Native Dolls, a Cultural Thread, includes 88 dolls from the collection of Heidi Catlett. For 30 years, she has traveled the state as a dental hygienist, growing her collection along the way.
When I would go out to these areas, I was just so fascinated with the people and the cultures. And I found these dolls represented that, and that's what's really important to me.
The exhibit includes dolls from six cultural regions across Alaska: Anungan, Inupiaq, Central Yupik, St. Lawrence Island Yupik, Athabascan, and Tlingit Haida. There are also 13 prehistoric figurines on display. Catlett says the exhibit will be the first step on these dolls' journeys home.
I feel like I'd like them to eventually go home to their respective areas. So the Inupiaq go home somewhere in a museum or just back to where they belong would be my goal.
The Alaska Native Dolls exhibit opens Friday night at 6 o'clock at the Museum of the Aleutians. It'll be open through March of 2019. On Alaska's volleyball teams start their season this Friday afternoon at the Crab Pot Jamboree. Games start at 3:30 with the last match of the night scheduled for 8 o'clock. Raiders fans can catch all of the junior high and high school games Friday in the high school gym. Unalaskans can still register to vote ahead of next month's state election. The deadline is this Sunday, October 7th, 1 month before voters will decide Alaska's governor, lieutenant governor, and U.S. representative to Congress, as well as their state lawmakers in Juneau. You can register to vote at Unalaska City Hall, the public library, or online at voterregistration.alaska.gov. Some candidates for governor and the legislature have said they'll cut the state budget next year, but a recent report by nonpartisan budget analysts shows that that may be difficult. As KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports, that's because the state is going to have to pay more next year for the same services it's providing this year.
The state budget this year includes several items that will raise costs by $200 million next year. That's according to the Legislative Finance Division. They're the experts who provide nonpartisan budget analysis for lawmakers. David Teal is the division director. He says the report lets lawmakers know that some of the things the legislature did this year can't be repeated.
It's a heads up to the finance chairs and to other legislators that what they did with one-time money, etc., in the prior session can leave some holes.
The biggest hole will be from Medicaid. This year's budget includes $50 million less than the program is projected to cost. Teal says there isn't much state officials can do to avoid this cost.
If you're eligible and you go get medical services, the state's obligated to pay those costs. And you can't simply tell someone, spend less. Because the bureaucrats don't control the costs.
The second biggest budget hole is from the pension obligation. Based on the latest numbers, the state should contribute $38 million more next year to shore up government and school workers' pension funds. Another problem is that the legislature won't be able to draw on some funds that it used this year. An example is a program that is phased out, the Alaska Comprehensive Health Insurance Fund. There was more than $30 million left in this fund that the legislature used to pay for other costs. Teal says this was understandable.
We're not pointing any fingers at anyone for doing these things. Some of them are perfectly normal, good ways to spend money. They're just not repeatable.
Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman asked for the report. He's the chairman of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. He says the report makes the true size of the budget clearer.
You can't clearly see the problem. It's difficult sometimes to get the correct solution.
Stedman says the report highlights the challenge of cutting the budget.
So the likelihood of the legislature going in and removing required expenditures, well, it's going to be politically challenging, put it that way. And we haven't had that discussion yet in the legislature.
The report points out an even bigger challenge for balancing the budget in the future. In addition to paying out the $200 million spelled out in the report, it would cost nearly $900 million more to pay for the full permanent fund dividends under the formula in state law. Teal notes that the legislature passed a law drawing from permanent fund earnings to pay for state government services.
As soon as we begin drawing from the earnings of the permanent fund and using them for government services, then the dividend competes with those other government services. There's no difference mathematically between paying dividends and spending money on K-12 or Medicaid.
The 10-page report is available on the Legislative Finance website. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Legislative Finance Director David Teal is in Unalaska to talk with community members about the state's financial situation. He is hosting a presentation tonight at 6 o'clock at City Hall alongside Representative Bryce Edgman. The Dillingham Democrat is running for re-election this November for Alaska House District 37, which represents the Aleutian Islands and Bristol Bay in Juneau. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.